You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I spoke with Mark Wright, a University of Canterbury College of Business and Law doctoral student who has also worked as both a Crown prosecutor in Auckland and Rotorua and as a lawyer prosecuting environmental non-compliance cases in Tauranga. So he knows his stuff. He definitely knows his stuff. And he is currently reviewing the RMA's sanctioning regime. And he's looking at alternatives on how to reprimand breaches that aren't necessarily falling under, or that shouldn't be classified as criminal offences. So I chatted to him a little bit about the research that he's undertaking and why he thinks it's really important that we change our legislation in New Zealand.
The RMA really is the overarching piece of legislation that governs the management of the natural and physical resources in New Zealand. Covers many things, from discharges into water to subdivisions to all manner of activities that go on, so both in rural and urban areas. The type of breaches that it covers, it really reflects that as well. So you might be looking at, and probably the prime example that people would be aware of is the discharges into streams from dairying, because there's a lot. But at the other end of the spectrum, perhaps, is the breaches of just a district plan or a regional plan. So a lot of, and that's probably something that people are a lot less well aware of, is that anything in the district plan which says you cannot do something, if you breach that, not only is it a breach of the district plan, it actually ends up being a breach of the RMA as well.
Right.
And that sort of leads into part of the broader part of the project, and that then comes within the remit of the criminal justice system.
Mm. So the fact that it is a breach of RMA, it is then categorised as a criminal offence, which is something you're sort of saying is a little bit over the top, perhaps?
Well, I think part of, what I'm looking at is whether it's probably the case that some breaches of the RMA are generally warrant the term, and I think a classic example would probably be pollution into oceans of oil, and there's been some high profile cases, and that can have hugely harmful effects, and as harmful as many other criminal offences. At the other end of the spectrum, though, you have the much more minor or technical offences that go more towards immense value. So an example I often think about is there's often a rule in district plan that a property can only have one independent dwelling on it. Some people obviously like to have two because they can make money in that way, and then that becomes a criminal offence. And really it's saying, well, is that an appropriate label for that sort of act, or could it be dealt with in some other way? Because as soon as you bring in the criminal justice system, along with it comes all form of time and cost and the labels that come with it.
Mm. Obviously, we haven't really talked about your research much or what you'll be undertaking. You know, it is very costly to undergo process of the criminal justice system. So the reason why you think this research is important?
There's two main, I guess, streams to my research that I'm looking at. One is to say, and I'm focusing on the sanctions in the RA, and predominantly the criminal offences. I think what's probably important to recognise is a number of different options that councils have to respond to non-compliance. From the very minor, they might give a warning, they might issue an infringement notice, which is basically an on-the-spot fine. They can issue a variety of, they can issue an abatement notice, which is telling them to stop doing something, and then at the top end there's an enforcement order, which is court ordered, and then the criminal offences. So I'm looking mainly at that top end, at the criminal offences, and what I'm saying is the first stream is saying, are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? And generally in these sort of regulatory regimes, the primary purpose of them is to deter people from committing offences, so in this case from breaching the RMA. The theory behind deterrence is generally that the two main factors are the severity and how likely it is that it will be imposed. The first part then is really looking and saying, well, what is the severity of it and what is the certainty? And there, it really is quite unlikely you'll be prosecuted for this sort of offending, so the certainty is quite low.
Do you think from your research that you might find that if we were to change systems and not categorise RMA breaches under criminal offences, that there might be more...
Well, it might. I think because the thing that comes often with criminal offences is there's two quite big factors, I guess, when that often come to people's mind, and one is definitely the time and cost. It can cost minimum in the tens of thousands, and it could cost up to in the hundreds of thousands if it was a big prosecution. So that's a lot of money for a local authority, and so therefore that's a big contributor, I would say, to why the number of prosecutions is so low. So an alternative system would likely not be as expensive.
So you're going to be looking into other countries and how they look at breaches of environmental law, is that right?
Yes. So part of what I'm hoping to do is to look through the New Zealand system, really, and work out sort of where we're at and sort of a base level, and then see what's going on overseas, and because there are different systems, so and there's kind of, I guess, going back to those two limbs of the severity and the certainty. In terms of severity, in New Zealand, the primary penalty is a fine imposed by the courts, and for some people that'd be a very effective penalty, but for others that might have less effect to them. And a big problem is those people who have been, I guess, operating on the smell of an oily rag, and therefore by the time you come to actually prosecute them, they've got no money left anyway, so right. A fine may not have much of a deterrent effect. But I think one of the important things as well to remember is that it's not necessarily saying, oh, we shouldn't use the criminal law, because some of these things that some of these breaches are just as bad, if not worse, than
right.
many other things that we call criminal offences. But it's saying, well, is it right to do across the board? There's certainly benefits that come from consistency and calling everything the same, it makes it easier to use, but giving up in that, you put a lot more discretion in the hands of the local authorities, because it's really up to them then to choose what they're going to call criminal and what they're not.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.